This is NPR.
Hey, good morning, everyone. The U.S. Supreme Court announced yesterday it will decide a critical case involving the Second Amendment of the Constitution, which gives Americans the right to keep and bear arms. The court accepted a case that will determine whether it's constitutional for Washington, D.C. to ban people from owning handguns. D.C. has had that ban in place for the past 31 years. City officials took their case to the high court after a federal appeals court struck down the ban, saying it violated the Second Amendment. Here's D.C. Mayor Adrian Fenty speaking to reporters yesterday.
We believe that state governments have the right to regulate gun possession without restriction from the Second Amendment, and we believe that the District of Columbia should be no different in that regard.
The last time the Supreme Court evaluated the Second Amendment was nearly 70 years ago. In this new case, the court will decide whether a person who is not affiliated with a state-regulated militia can keep a gun at home for private use. In other legal news, the polygamous leader of a fundamentalist Mormon sect has been sentenced to 10 years to life in prison for forcing a girl to marry her 19-year-old cousin. Warren Jeffs was convicted by a jury in September of acting as an accomplice to rape. NPR's Howard Berkus is in Salt Lake City with details.
The leader of the nation's largest polygamous group was an accomplice to rape, according to the Utah jury that convicted him, and he knew he was breaking the law, said the judge who sentenced Warren Jeffs Tuesday. Prosecutors called on Judge James Shumay to incapacitate Jeffs by leveling a harsh sentence. Defense attorneys said Jeffs had merely acted as a religious counselor when he urged a 14-year-old follower to submit to the sexual demands of her 19-year-old first cousin. The couple had been married by Jeffs in a ceremony resisted by the girl and not recognized by the state. Arizona will now try Jeffs on similar charges. These prosecutions cap a crackdown on Jeffs' group, which dominates twin towns on the Utah-Arizona border.
That was NPR's Howard Berkus in Utah. Finally, the Grinch has been booted from Broadway, and producers for the musical have filed suit to get him back. A New York judge is expected to hear arguments today in a case filed by producers of Dr. Seuss's How the Grinch Stole Christmas. The show is one of more than two dozen that have been shut down by the Broadway stagehand strike that started November 10th. Lawyers for the Grinch say if the strike goes much longer, the show may have to close altogether, considering its limited holiday run. It's not the only legal fallout from the strike. The Nederlander producing company, which owns 9 of the 27 Broadway theaters affected by the strike, has filed suit against the stagehands union for $35 million. Meanwhile, the four shows set to take part in tomorrow's Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade will perform as scheduled, although the cast for Legally Blonde is looking around for new costumes because the wardrobe union is honoring the stagehands' picket line. That's the news, and it's always online at npr.org.
This is NPR.
Hi, Mike and Allison.
Hey, Rachel.
I saw a little girl crying on the news because she couldn't. She was actually to star in The Grinch.
Oh.
And the family picked up, and they came to New York, and now she's. And I said to myself, what are we all living in Whoville? People. Get a Grinch.
Bring the Grinch. Strikes make children cry. That's the other side's motto now.
Yeah.